Good afternoon, everybody. This is the Reverend Blake Ruby. Welcome to my show, The Church, The Soul's Evolution. I'm running a little bit late because I'm usually out in the back patio, and it's got a metal roof, so the connectivity is not so good at times. I had to bring it upstairs, and here I am in our bedroom, transmitting to you from San Antonio, Texas. And I hope you're having a good day. Let me tell you about myself. I woke up this morning with my wife. We both woke up and we went to our Toastmasters meeting. The first and third Saturday of each month at 9:30. 11 people there. It's not easy to talk. You know what I'm saying? But I did a pretty good job, all things considered. And I really value my radio show to enhance my public speaking skills because it really does help me to be able to talk for an hour. That's one thing about Toastmasters, and I don't want to sound complaining, but you only have like 5 to 7 minutes for regular speeches most of the time. There are longer speeches, but the shorter ones are 1 to 2 minutes. They're called impromptu speeches or table topics, and they give you something to talk about. And you have 1 to 2 minutes. You have to make it to 1 minute. You can go over 30 seconds, so maximum 2 minutes and 30 seconds. And then you have an evaluation of the speech. It's still a fun time to get together with people, and I enjoy it very much. And then afterwards, we went to a restaurant and had some food and came back home and took a nap. I woke up, went to my back patio, did a little practice with my singing. I've got a solo in church tomorrow. And let me tell you a little bit about it. It's called All Night. It's a gospel song. I've been singing it throughout the years. Every now and then they ask me to sing it again. And it goes something like this. All night. And then the choir says, I wouldn't give up. And I sing all night. They say, I wouldn't let go. All night, I just held on, and I say, I called on the Lord to them all night long, and I wouldn't let go until he blessed my soul. I'm a witness, and I say, thank you, Jesus, or great God Almighty, that I came through all night, and it repeats, and then once we go through that again, the same thing as before, I come to the part where I have my little soul, and it goes like this. It goes, Jacob wrestled with the angel all night long. He wouldn't let go till the break of dawn. He said, you gotta bless me before you leave. I felt the same way when I was on my knees. I asked the Lord to help me to be strong. I called him all night long, all night. That's what it really sounds like. It's not easy without the music. Anyway, so I've got that in church tomorrow. The gospel service at Freedom Chapel on Lackland Air Force Base. It starts at 12:30, and it's been one of the best things I've done in my life to be a member of that choir. Well, how are you? How have you been out there in internet radio land? All around the world, you might be in Russia listening. You might be in Japan, maybe in Lima, Peru. How about Argentina somewhere? Maybe in France, perhaps in South Africa, maybe in Iran. And wherever you are, I'm happy that you're here listening to me because you'll never find a radio show that is more chock-a-block full of spirituality than my show. That's just the truth. Why is that, you might ask? Because I think, I don't have any proof. I know that my soul is eternal, but I think I am an advanced soul, an old soul, if you will. How about you? Are you a young soul? Maybe this is your first incarnation here on earth. Or maybe you're an intermediate soul. that's got maybe 5, 10, 15 past lives under your belt, so to speak. Or an advanced soul they can have, especially on the really highly evolved planets out there in the universe, in our Milky Way galaxy. There's one in particular from the book Abduction to the Ninth Planet, the planet Thaya-Uba. I'm going to take a drink. Thaya-Uba is the home of an extraterrestrial race of hermaphrodite. That's a tongue twister. Hermaphrodite extraterrestrials about 9 feet tall, which means they're transgender, kind of, yes. We live in a universe of male and females, contrary to what the Bible says, that there's only a Father God. Don't believe that, my friends, because when you die, and we all die one day, right? Don't get that wrong so you wind up on the other side and you learn all of a sudden, hey, there is a Mother God. Oh, you're going to feel very regretful and remorseful for not having known better, for not having used your logic and realized, like I said, the world and the universe is a male and female universe. I can't believe the mothers of our children here on Earth in every country who raise us from babies, who change our diapers and feed us, who shape and mold us into the good people we become. I say the majority of us are good, decent, family-oriented, loving, kind, generous, compassionate, empathetic people, right? There's only a small minority of us that are the tyrants, the bullies, the dictators, right? But I was saying about these extraterrestrials. On their planet, it's a Category 9 planet in the Milky Way galaxy, one of the three most technologically and spiritually developed in our Milky Way galaxy. And planet Earth, our planet, is otherwise known as a planet of sorrows. What does that mean? It means it's usually a planet where there's a lot of war and fighting and killing going on, like there has been throughout the centuries. Anybody want to object to that reality? How many warmongers are out there? Probably some people that like war, maybe the military-industrial complex. And I understand that sometimes we need to defeat aggression like the Nazis during World War II. But it's understandable. I understand why it's been that way throughout the centuries, because we live on a planet that's very, very difficult to live in. It is hard to live our lives here on planet Earth. That's why so many people take their lives, because for one thing, we live in a world where we're not at the top of the food chain. Hello. And we live in a world where planet Earth has many ways to kill us. Lightning, tornadoes, hello, hurricanes, tsunamis, volcanoes exploding, poisonous insects, poisonous snakes. Yeah. And then we have the atmosphere weighing heavy on us. The weather is always changing. Right? And so it is hard. Don't blame yourself too much. But if you're blessed, if you're lucky, if you pray all the time, remember this, my friends, that man will pray, P-R-E-Y, on man and woman until man and woman learns to pray, P-R-A-Y, for man and woman. You won't forget that, will you, please? If you remember anything from this one radio show today on June the 1st, happy June, everybody. Happy June. Then you will know those words are straight from God. I learned it. I won't tell you how. Just take it from me. You believe me? You trust me? Those words came from God, the great, almighty creator of the universe, who is both male and female. But in accordance with God's plan, I'll get back to the extraterrestrials from Thaya-Uba. According to the great original creator spirit of the universe, who created the first solar system and then one after the other until one galaxy was formed, and then another solar system one after the other until another galaxy was formed, and that was about 15 billion years ago. That's a long time. Dang. I'm almost 70 years old. It's hard for me to comprehend 15 billion years ago. Can you? I mean, I can't even remember when I was born. Dang, I think my eyes were working. I think they were. And I know my brain was working. Yeah. My heart was beating. But I can't remember. And that's the way it goes. I think some memories are erased. Maybe on purpose. Accidentally. I don't know. I'm not going to worry about it. But suffice it to say that we were born into this world. We came from a place, a pre-existence. We existed in our spirits, right? Because we got a spirit in our body. Anybody want to disagree with that? If you disagree with that, then how about when you're dreaming? And I've said this before. I'll say it again. For the benefit of those people that are tuning in for the first time, right? When you dream, you remember some of your dreams? Just a little bit in your entire lifetime. Don't you remember like maybe one clip of a dream, just one, like 1 or 2, 3, 4 seconds. Do you remember how you were seeing in your dream? How could you see in your dream if your eyes were closed? Those are the eyes of the spirit. Ah. Ooh. Because our spirit leaves our body when we sleep and travels through the dreamland, throughout the dreamland, and refreshes itself, works out problems and issues, meets other people, maybe travels around the solar system, goes to other planets, goes back in time, goes forward in time. Doesn't that sound cool? Is it like that? So back to the extraterrestrials from the planet Thaouba. Hermaphrodite, transgender. Of course, extremely, extremely, extremely intelligent. Able to traverse the universe in very quick fashion with their round spacecraft. Go interdimensional. And when they go interdimensional, it's like a thought dimension. Because really, the universe is just a giant, intelligent thought, my friends. You knew that. You know a lot of things because you are co-creator gods in the making. Yes, you are. If you have the potential to die at any second, you are a co-creator god in the making. If you have a brain, then you are a co-creator god in the making. If you have a heart that beats independently of your will, you are a co-creator god in the making. And why are we here? We're here to develop spiritually. Yes, I know we need to have our jobs and make our money and raise our children. But we are here mainly to develop ourselves spiritually and for our souls to evolve. And planet Earth is a very difficult learning environment. A category one planet, but still a jewel of the universe as far as beauty is concerned. Is it not beautiful, my friends? Just use your imagination, envision, if you will, 500 years ago, before we began to befoul the atmospheres with our pollution. Do you know what I mean? Our atmosphere with the pollution. And the water, befouling the water with pollution. The air was pristine and pure, as was the water. And life abounded. I think there were some species that probably existed back then, which are now extinct. And if you go back even further, it's more incredible seeing the beautiful landscape and the fresh, pure air and life. If you go back maybe 15,000 or even, how about this, go back 1 million years and you will see that life on planet Earth was just incredible. Snakes would grow to maybe in certain areas of the world to sizes in excess of 45 feet. Crocodiles that were like 30 feet long. All kinds of life in the dinosaurs. Imagine existing back in the dinosaur era. I think they were wiped out by asteroids, maybe one big asteroid, and I've talked about this before. if a huge asteroid came out of nowhere that maybe, you know, our astronomers and scientists couldn't predict where it's at right now because it's too far away, right? Maybe one that's even a mile in diameter or 50 miles in diameter, but imagine one that was a huge chunk of rock, maybe 1,000 miles in diameter. It would wipe us out, you know. It would destroy, it would stop Earth from rotating on its axis. Earthquakes would break out, volcanoes explode, spewing their ashes into the atmosphere, blocking out the sunlight. Storms would form. No one could exist. No one could survive that. And it's happened before. That's how the dinosaurs were wiped out, in my opinion. Some people might say the Ice Age. Well, I don't necessarily agree with that. Planet Earth, according to my best estimates, is approximately 2 million years old. That's all. If you disagree, well, you're entitled to your opinion, my friend. And hold on just a second. One of our dogs is at the door, and she wants to be let in. I'll be right back. Hold on, please. Gotta move this over to the side. If you want to leave, you can leave. That's our dog, Goldie. She's an American Pit Bull Terrier. She's about female. She's about anywhere from 12 to 15 years old, we think. All of her dogs are rescues. We just got another dog. Puppy. Something like that. Anyway, we still got to get him neutered, get him a shot, and he's already he would sleep between back. I don't know why, I just can't sleep on my sides. That one thing. When I was young, I didn't have sleep apnea. I could sleep on my side. And then in 1997, when I was in the Army, I began sleeping on my back without a pillow, no less. And that was after I donated one of my kidneys to my son in an operation at Stanford University on the 29th of March, 1995. While still on active duty, I had to have it approved by the Surgeon General of the Army. And the Army called it an elective surgery, but the truth is, my son was 10 months old at the time, and he was on dialysis for, he had been on dialysis for 3 months. And they have to be at least 6 months old and weigh at least 18 pounds to have a kidney transplant. Dice was 10 months and 18 pounds exactly. So they took one of my kidneys out of my right side and put it inside his abdominal area, you know, which is about the size of your fist, you know, a kidney, a regular size kidney. And then that lasted him 19 years. And something I could say multiple times, 1,000 times, thank you, God, for your help with Bryce. Now he's doing well. He just turned 30. He lives in Burbank. And I've heard that people donate kidneys. He got this last one from his best friend's mom. Let me take a look. And that was a real love. Your kidneys to somebody is a true gift, even though Bryce knew them and they were friends. There are people out there that donate kidneys to complete strangers, which is amazing. I'm constantly amazed by the love that some people show out there. But I always knew that people have love, a lot of love in their hearts. You just got to bring it out. You know, we walk down the street and see people, and we might say hello, and I recommend you do to everybody, because everybody is a walking miracle, really. You don't know where people came from. You know, the streets, the roads are very dangerous nowadays. People are dying on the road all the time. You don't know what people are going through. There's crime. There's dangerous situations people get involved in with it we don't know about. And not until you begin to talk with them do you begin to find out, excuse me, that people have so much to share, so much to talk about. That's one reason I love cruises. I know I'm bouncing from one subject to the other here. And when you go on a cruise, you get to meet people. That's probably the number one thing that I like, other than the food and the entertainment and the karaoke and the dancing and going different places and the sunlight on the water and the moonlight on the water and the music everywhere. The service is always excellent with Carnival Cruise Lines. Yeah, I could do a Carnival commercial. We got one coming up next Saturday. So Doug and Dawn, I'll tell you when the show's over that we won't be here for the next two Saturdays, because unlike other cruises that start on Saturday, well, I usually take two Saturdays off anyway, but this one gets back on Sunday. So Saturday the 8th to Sunday the 16th, I'm going to be gone. So the next two shows will either be reruns, or if BBS Radio wants to play music, they're free to do that. And if you've never taken a cruise before, I would recommend it. Being a veteran cruiser myself, I would suggest that, hold on just a minute, I'm going to open up the window here to get a little fresh air in. I've taken lots of cruises, over 40 of them, dating back to 1989. With Carnival Cruise Lines, I've got over 210 days cruising with them. So that's about 7 months, you know, straight cruising all throughout the year since 2003. And I love cruising because I've got a lot of food options to eat. I'm a vegan, been a vegan since 1999. I started being a vegetarian for a few months, actually March the 29th, the same day I still remember of the kidney transplant. I began vegetarianism, and then I was trying just fish and dairy products and eggs, and that didn't work out. So I became a complete vegan on the 29th of September, 1999. And what I like about cruises is that they have buffets where I can get eggplant and beans and salad and other stuff. And I make some exceptions occasionally with a little bit of dairy. Maybe I might get some macaroni and cheese, just a little bit. I can't handle too much cheese. I think I'm lactose intolerant. But then at dinner time, when we sit down at the dinner table and we look at the menu, they always have a couple of vegetarian entrees, and then a salad, of course, and they might have some appetizers like mushrooms or lentil soup, different kinds of vegetarian soup. And I make out quite well on cruises, being a vegan vegetarian. And that's one reason I like cruises, because I have all these food to eat, all the foods to eat. If we go to like an all-inclusive resort, it's not so vegan, vegetarian friendly, but cruises are. And I love the entertainment. The dancing and the singing is always top-notch. First class, A number one. Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I've gotta make a brand new start of it. New York, New York. And if I can make it there, I'll make it anywhere. I'm going to take a drink. I'm still got a little bit of after effects from having bronchitis. So I hate being sick. I don't like using the word hate. I dislike very much being sick. How about you? Do you feel the same way? If I never get sick again, it will be too soon. You know what I'm saying? It's just a terrible experience they have to go through, and you got to be careful staying hydrated. I think that's the number one reason why we get sick, is because we become dehydrated. And what I do is I get this Gatorade bottle. I like a little bit of Gatorade, not too much. And I empty it and I put water in there because it's got a big mouth and you can sip on it. You know, regular water bottles like Dasani and Aquafina and Pure Life and some of the others, I've got a call to them, a call to action. If they're out there listening, and maybe you could pass it along if you know anybody in the water bottle industry, how about please making some water bottles with big mouths? Because in my opinion, and I've noticed a difference in my sleep apnea, drinking from a bottle, it could be a beer bottle too, this is just FYI, I'll leave it up to you to find out for yourself. You have free will, but I'm just putting it out there because I think I found out that my sleep apnea is aggravated by drinking water from a plastic bottle, the small mouth, you know, you guzzle it and take in air, you know what I'm saying? You take like a beer bottle and drink it, it's like gulp, 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 but if you sip, you can, it goes down a lot smoother, and what it does, it constricts the airway, I think, whereas if you drink from a cup or a Gatorade bottle or somewhere, some big bottle that's got a bottle that's got a big mouth, then it goes down the throat a lot easier and it opens up the airway more. So when you fall asleep at night, then you can breathe better. Does that make sense? I'm just putting it out there. You know, I, besides talk about spirituality, I also want to help you with things that I've learned from other people and from myself, because we're all in this together, you know. I don't want to hide stuff from people. If something works for me, if I've got some issue and I'm doing something that works for me, I want to share it with you. And that's one of the reasons I have my radio show, so I can tell you about stuff like that. Also, this really good exercise I've been doing, I think I talked about it on my last show, and that's called what I call the 100-meter fartlek. Now, believe me when I tell you, believe me, I am serious. Please, don't forget this. I have done a lot of sprinting over the last several years because having sleep apnea, I thought it was very important to keep my heart exercised. And so, in my opinion and from my research, I found that sprinting is probably one of the best exercises you can do for your heart and your lungs. So why not? It's actually easier than running a mile, 2 miles, a marathon, whatever. And find yourself a track, because I found out that pavement and concrete and dirt and a treadmill is not the same. A rubber track is the ideal place for sprinting. However, I don't like going around in circles, around and around and around. No, thank you. From what I've learned, according to my research, and you can check on it if you want to, if you disagree with me, that when you go around in circles, it doesn't allow rotation of your knees. And so you could be looking at some knee injuries later on. But if you use the straightaway, walk down, turn around, come back, do it again, repeat. Why not? That's what they do on the basketball court, on the football field. Does that make sense? And so the 100-meter fartlek, what I found out what I was doing wrong, and it was contributing to a hamstring injury on my right leg and a groin injury, and also a little aches and pains throughout my body, was I would start my sprinting from a dead stop and then work up to full speed. And there's a different way of doing it that has worked out that I found is better for me. And that is, if you start out running slowly, like an airborne shuffle, you know, kind of for about 25 to 40 meters. And then once you get up to your, I would say, slow to medium speed, maybe 5-6 miles an hour, and then sprint for about 50 to 60 meters, full speed. And what that does is that when you're running at a speed, then you're not kicking off with one leg or another when you start to accelerate to a full sprint. Does that make sense? I found that that does. You just kind of pick up the speed. It's not one leg or the other. And that's the problem. Some people have stronger right legs than left legs, and maybe like longer. One leg is longer than the other, and it leads to injuries. So you sprint, and then you get down close to the 100-meter mark, and then you slow down for about 15 meters to a walk, and turn around and do it again. That's called what I call the 100-meter fartlek, because you begin running at a slow speed. You increase, just like you would with a fartlek with a team of runners, where the guy at the back or the woman at the back runs to the front of the formation, single file formation. And then that's repeated as they run around wherever they're running. You know, some people, they're young. They can take running on pavement. I used to, in the Army, when I was in the Army, we would run in formation down the roads. That's okay. But when you get older, also I stand at my job every day. I have a sit-stand workstation, so to speak. And so I spend a lot of time standing on my feet. Spend a lot of time standing on my feet. Even right now, talking to you, I'm standing. And it is better. Do the research. Don't just believe me. You know what the research says about when you sit down too much. It's not good. But then again, standing for too long is not good either. So you always have to find time to, if you're sitting, to get up and walk around. And work out the, you know, kind of walk it out. Or if you're standing, take time to sit down for a while and rest. Rest, my friends, listen to me, please. Rest. I am decreeing officially over you, over everybody right now, that rest is mandatory. You must take your rest. When you get to heaven, you will find out that rest is mandatory. Yes, you have activities in heaven. It'll be great. You be called upon to do things. As a spirit, you might be called upon to return to the earth to help some people. There might be some people locked up in darkness that you've known in your life that need you to help bring them out of the darkness into the light. Can you dig that? Sometimes it's a very difficult mission. There are some alike who committed suicide. For example, Jim Morrison of the Doors, maybe, or Jimi Hendrix. I don't think he committed suicide, though. I think he was given, somebody killed him by giving him maybe too many hits of acid or LSD, and he drank as well, and so he threw up and choked on his own vomit. Bon Scott of AC/DC, Amy Winehouse, I didn't know her too well, and the list goes on and on, not to mention all the other suicides who are in a kind of purgatory, but a prayer or spirits coming from the spirit realm could show up and help to release them if they are receptive to it. Did you ever see the movie What Dreams May Become, What Dreams May Come, with Robin Williams? Now, it's kind of ironic. I think that's the word. Where something happens in an opposite way, where he did this movie about suicide. What Dreams May Come with Robin Williams, you have to see it. It's about heaven and also purgatory, hell. Please, please watch it. What Dreams May Come with Robin Williams, where I'll tell you about it, tell you a story, that story. He is a happily married man. He met his wife when he was a child, and they grew up together, his childhood sweetheart. They loved each other very much. They got married, and they had a boy and a girl, a beautiful young man, beautiful young woman living the perfect life, the American dream. And then one day, they didn't have time to take the boy and the girl to somewhere in the minivan. So the grandmother took them. They got into an accident and they died. And so obviously Robin Williams and I forget the name of the actors who played the mother were devastated, heartbroken, you know. And so they're reconciling each other. They were able to help each other out with that grief. And then Robin Williams was out one day driving around. He came upon an accident and got out of his car to help the person get out of the car. And just at that time, here comes another car flying through the air and kills him. And he finds himself in this beautiful land, so colorful, which heaven will be, my friends, very, 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 very colorful. I guarantee you, if you remember anything right now from what I'm saying, which I've learned from other people, is that heaven will be very bright and intense. The colors will be almost unbearably bright and beautiful. The grass is a green that will just blow your mind. The trees of life with all their fruit, which we can indulge in. Believe it or not, the spirit can eat food and drink water, water from the river of life. It is great beyond your understanding. Wait till you see what it's like. It will be awesome. It will be awesome. You could be able to, you'll be able to do things that you don't understand right now that you are able to do there. Among them, eating all those different fruits, and they're delicious, and they help with your spirituality. And smelling the leaves of the trees also help. Because the goal is to get to the throne room when you get there. The throne room is where the mother and father God and Jesus, who died on the cross, is there. And how would you like a throne there next to them? I'm asking you, would you like a throne there in the throne room, which is a beautiful place to be? I don't mean to sound, I hope you didn't mind my tone of voice. But if you do really want a throne next to them, you can have one if you develop yourself spiritually enough and evolve your soul enough. Yes, I'm telling you the truth. And there is no more fun and enjoyable and beautiful place to be than in the throne room, surrounded by angels and the redeemed spirits, the disciples from the Bible, I mean, the patriarchs from the Bible, the disciples, all the people who have had the benefit of spiritual development over thousands of years to come from all cultures throughout the earth. There is no religion in heaven, my friends. Everybody worshiping the Mother and Father God and the Creator of the universe. Don't you understand that? The Creator of the universe plan was to have a Mother and Father God, co-creators of a solar system, who created that solar system, who had the spirituality, the soul's evolution enough, if you know what I mean, to be able to mobilize those cosmic forces of the universe with words that are spoken, just like it says in the Bible in the beginning was word. That's why it behooves us to use our words very wisely, because we have a lot of power in our words, especially with prayers. How many believers in prayer do we have out there? How many believers in prayer do we have out there? Prayer works, my friends. Now, just imagine. Think about this for a second, for a few seconds. If prayers do work, if you're able to change things with your prayer, with your prayers, and other people too, isn't that a kind of power that you won't really comprehend, that you don't really comprehend? I'm going to take a drink. That is a power that you have that the Mother and Father God and the Creator of the universe who listen to your prayers can grant based on your needs, not necessarily what you want. I mean, I pray all the time to win the lottery, but it might not be the best thing for me. A lot of people who do win the lottery wind up in a negative situation. Some even say, I wish I'd never won before because it's been a nightmare for them. All of a sudden, you get on thousands, hundreds and thousands of people coming out of the woodwork asking for money. And then if you turn them down, then you've made an enemy, for one thing. Now, don't get me wrong, there are some people that will be able to handle it all right, you know, that they invest some of it and they live a kind of laid-back life, that maybe they get away so they're not hounded by friends and relatives. Not everyone, it doesn't turn out perfectly for everyone. In other words, they might buy a house, depending on how much they win, you know. If you win millions, then naturally you would give some to a charity. I would do that too. But it might not be written in the stars. It might not have been written in your life plan for you to win the lottery. So even though you might want to, you might pray, which is okay. You can pray for anything you want, but it might not be given to you, because the Mother and Father God and the Creator of the universe know your needs, know what's best for you, and they will make sure that your number one goal is achieved, and that is to develop yourself spiritually. Because we're given a mission, each and every one of us, every single person is given a mission to come to Earth and fulfill. And your goal, your objective is to stay on that path, to complete that mission until that day you transition back to the afterlife. Not everyone accomplishes their mission, but I guarantee you every single person on Earth, before they were born onto this planet, which is not really our home, we come from a world of light, I'll leave it up to you to guess where that is, stood before either the Mother or Father God, depending on whether or not you're predominantly a male or a female spirit, and was given a mission. Could be different things. Could be kind of like a degree, you know, or when you set out to accomplish a degree, or maybe multiple degrees. You know what they are, then you have to work towards getting them. So, for example, maybe someone comes to Earth and they want to try to stop war or have peace. Or another spirit might come to Earth and, in an effort to make contact with extraterrestrials out there so that we know that there is life out there and we can change our planet around and be focused on contact with our universal brothers and sisters rather than our petty conflicts here on Earth, fighting among ourselves. It doesn't make any sense. And politics also, someone might come to Earth to maybe get into politics and lead the way to keep journalism from not being so sensational, to tell the truth. That's another thing too, you know, to let the truth be told. Vivek Ramaswamy, in my opinion, is a man who has a mission to tell the truth. Now, he might be a little bit biased one way or another. Oh, by the way, let me change the subject to the felony counts. Mr. Trump in the hush money trial, 34 counts, felony counts. He's now a convicted felon. Well, that's too bad. It really is. I don't know if you've heard me say it before, but I've dreamed about Mr. Trump. Three separate dreams that I remember where I've been in a dream with him, and he's been like a brother, an older brother. And he is older than me, by a few years, not much. But I saw him when he became president in 2016, the primaries that he was going through. He made me laugh, and he still makes me laugh. Now, I might not be a perfect judge of character. I don't know if someone's lying or not. I thought O.J. Simpson was innocent because I met him. And he was a beautiful man, I think. The cartel hitman, killed his wife and Ron Goldman because she was involved with cocaine and owed them $50,000. Hello. But if you really want to find out for yourself, if you really, really want to find out, you know, the truth about certain things, even though O.J. just recently passed away, then make it your effort. Make it your mission to go ahead and try to talk to those people. And maybe for about a few minutes, and then decide for yourself whether or not they're telling the truth. But in my opinion, Mr. Trump is a truthful man. Now, somebody's lying. Somebody's always lying, right? And a debate or, you know, a presidential candidate, they're always telling the opposite of what the other person is saying. Someone's always lying. They both can't be telling the truth, right? So, in my opinion, this is what I think about the hush money trial. 34 felony counts. Now, there in New York, the judge, first of all, this is logical. Now, I like Mr. Biden. Don't get me wrong. I like the Democrats. And I know why they are the way they are, because the main difference between the Republicans and the Democrats is on the issue of abortion. That's just me. That's my opinion. Abortion. That is the main difference, why we're not on the same sheet of music. You know, if we could come together and agree on certain things, it'd be nice if God could chip in and say, we could hear his voice and say, I don't like abortion. But no, I don't hear that voice. I don't hear those words. Or God could say, abortion is all right with me. I understand how women are. Or something like that. But unfortunately, those words aren't being spoken, so we have to decide for ourselves whether or not abortion is in accordance with God's will. And naturally, we want to do everything in accordance with God's will, because everything goes better with God. Just like milk. Got milk? Yep. Got God? Everything goes better. That's why I encourage each of you to pray and not stop praying. Don't stop praying on the subject of abortion. I know it's difficult. And women have been mistreated. They're not haven't been treated equally over the years. And that's one factor involved with them demanding the right to have their own choice when it comes to the baby that grows inside their body. Even though the man fertilized that seed, the man should have a say in that as well, because without the man, there would be no baby. Even though the woman does most of the work with the baby growing inside of her and the baby coming out after 9 months and the pain that she has to endure. But just think of this, and we haven't really proved that there is a soul, that the soul is eternal yet. Our science hasn't done it. But if you knew that every baby has a soul and a spirit enter its body at some time during that, what's the right word, fetal development, if you really, really knew that, that there is a soul and a spirit in that body, and it's just not an empty shell. I mean, look at us. We're grown babies now. We were babies once at one time in our mother's wombs, right? We have a spirit and a soul. It just hasn't been proven. But you know, deep down inside, regardless of what you say, when you wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning, you know you have a spirit and a soul in your body. Even though you might not agree with that. And that baby, that soul and spirit enters the mother's body, enters the womb, gets in that baby's body. And I know of rape and incest, there should be exceptions for that. They're about 1%. 1% of the births are due to rape or incest. And then if the mother's life is being threatened, that's also about 1% or less in situations where that happens. But if you knew that there was a little spirit and a soul that was inside that body, and then if you aborted that baby, that soul and spirit would go back to the spirit lands, to heaven, would you feel differently about abortion? Because we are alive today because we weren't aborted. Now, I understand that women have a tough decision to make, and sometimes there are extenuating circumstances that kind of... it's understandable for them to make that decision. And they have to live with that decision for the rest of their lives. That has to be a very difficult decision. It will be on their conscience, you know. And I imagine there are some women that regret it afterwards. And so we work this out. I mean, there's no clear-cut, defined answer. You know, in other words, there is no voice coming from God saying, please, don't abort babies. I haven't heard that. Or maybe some other words. So, going back to Mr. Trump, I think that when one administration gets in power, is automatically going after the other administration. If the Republicans get in power in November, they'll be on the Democrats' case. It goes back and forth. The competition is fierce. It is cutthroat. It is backstabbing. They'll do what they can to take down their opponent. That is the nature of competition. New York is a primarily Democratic state, a blue state. And so, New York and New York City, where they had that trial. And the judge, you've heard about the judge. He is pro-Democrat, and his daughter is raising money for the Democratic National Convention, I think, or for the Democrats, in other words. Every juror there lives in New York. I don't know if anybody can say right now if they're going to vote Democrat in this election or if they voted Democrat in the last election. But that would be an interesting question, wouldn't it? Say, you jurors, tell me the truth. Did you vote Democrat in 2020? I'm just curious. If there was one, I heard there was one juror who might have been leaning the other way. He was nodding when the defense was saying things. And he looked like he might vote on behalf of Mr. Trump. But just imagine if you were in a room with 11 other jurors and you were saying, I think I'm going to vote for Mr. Trump. And they were like, well, if you value your life, you mean you're going to hung this jury because you're voting for him? And they probably talked him out of it. Who knows? They might have even put a little money under the table and say, if you vote for Trump, you know, give you a few hundred thousand. I mean, if you vote for convicted Mr. Trump, you know, there's a couple hundred thousand dollars. I wouldn't put it past him, although that's not a true possibilities. But at the end of the day, we are all Americans, right? And in my opinion, the Supreme Court is going to come in and they're going to do something that will turn it around. But in the meantime, it's all very interesting. I like listening to the rhetoric, although then I can only take so much. And then, you know, they bring their people onto the shows, you know, whether it's CNN or Fox News, and they're collaborating, you know, saying, yeah, I've heard all the talk. Yeah, and CNN, no, Mr. Trump's convicted felon, you know, oh. Will he go to jail? What's the sentence going to be? Judge Merchan, what's he going to decide to do? And I've heard it all before. Now, I guess there's nothing left to do but to wait and see what happens. But that's fired up a lot of Republicans. I don't know if it's changed any of the people who are undecided, you know, if they will now vote for Mr. Trump after seeing what he's been through. He was sitting in that courtroom that showed some pictures where I was like, oh, poor Mr. Trump. Oh, my God, he looks so tired and sad. Dang, why does he have to do that? I mean, why are they doing that to him? It's like torture. Anyway, I got the 60-second notice. I still pray for Mr. Biden. I'll pray for any president, you know, because I'm pro the United States. May God continue to bless the United States. My friend God, creator of the universe, please bless all of us, everybody, including the United States. I love you, God. We love you. You are awesome. I'm going to look into the evening sky tonight and see all those beautiful stars out there and know that you're alive, creator of the universe. Thank you for everything. Goodbye, everybody. Talk to you not next week or the week after, but the following week. I love you. Bye-bye.